Well, welcome to the Situation Reports, Monday, June 10th, 2024. It's Colonel Murray. I watched the Masters of the Air over the weekend. If you haven't watched it, it's on Apple TV. It's a masterpiece. It's a nine-part series like Band of Brothers and the Pacific. If you haven't watched all three of those, you should, because this one was done extremely well. And they followed up like, you know, the unfortunate part is all three shows were done by raging pedophiles, but you know, Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, they know how to make World War II documentaries, for lack of a better word. And they followed it up with a movie called The Bloody 100th, which is also, I think it's also on Apple TV. And it goes through the two main characters and what they really did in World War II and how the squadron really developed, because of course you can't cover all that in a series. You cover the highlights, but there's one guy in the show you should pay attention to. His last name's Rosenthal. His call sign was Rosie. Dude flew 52 missions in the B-17, and 52 missions in a B-17 was unheard of at that time. I mean, one in 50 or 60 crews made it through 11 missions, let alone 25, which was the cutoff to go home. And a few pilots made it to 25 and came home, but a lot didn't. And if you don't know anything about the B-17 or the B-29, this will give you a good flavor for how violent, how brutal, and how many guys we lost in World War II in the air battle. People don't realize that there was 10 crewmen on each B-17. You lose four ships, that's 40 guys in the blink of an eye. And there was a raid in October of 1943 where I think we lost, 30 or 40 aircraft. That's 300, 400 guys in one day. That's unheard of. Entire squadron shot down by Luftwaffe. It really is a testament to what those guys did and how they did it. Because they put a... and did things that most of us wouldn't even think about. And the series does a very, very good job of showing not just that those guys were loyal to the country, they were loyal to each other. I mean, if you want to know how a soldier works, soldiers don't go to war to be heroes. They go to war because they don't want to let their buddies down. And that's a much different, you know, flavor for most people to understand. Like, I went to Iraq, a buddy of mine called me from Mosul and said, "Hey, we're screwing this up. Can you, I need some help. Can you come over here?" And I did. And, you know, was it a perfect tour? No, it was shit. I fought most of the staff in Baghdad and most of the staff at the higher echelons than I did the enemy. I spent more time trying to do the right thing for the Iraqi people than I did actually getting it done. I mean, I was able to get some humanitarian assistance done, but that's because I went completely outside of the system to do it. I actually called the Islamic Supreme Council of the U.S. and talked to a Persian gal named Mira Mahdi, and she sent over aid. And when we went to take it up to the camps that were outside of Mosul, of course, State Department jumped in and shamelessly took credit for it, which I didn't care about. The point was we got food for people that were actually needed it. They'd been displaced by all the conflict in and around Mosul, and they were between Duhok and Mosul, which is between the Kurdish areas and the Arab areas. And they are basically in no man's land. You go and you do what you do, and you do the best you can. But you don't always, it's never a flawless, perfect thing, especially in a conflict zone. And these guys show this, I think, better than any of the other series. I think the Pacific is a masterpiece because it shows the brutality of the fight between the Japanese and just how desolate those islands are. And the island hopping campaign was far more brutal than people realize. And I think the Peleliu episodes of the Pacific give you an idea of that. Definitely on Okinawa towards the end of the series with the rain and the miserable weather, and the constant conflict. It really does take a toll. Band of Brothers gives you a flavor for that, but it's not quite the same brutality. And these guys have done a great job of capturing what those guys actually went through. Like Bastogne with Band of Brothers, those two episodes, I mean, it was the coldest winter on record at that time. And they show that same winter in Masters of the Air. Those guys march in winter weather, and they did it well. I mean, unfortunately, Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg are raging pedophiles, but it is what it is. By the way, that was Poison, Nothing But a Good Time. That's finishing up the 2-3 parts of Poison. I think I'll switch to something a little harder rock for Wednesday's show. We started the 2-night-a-week roundtable on Friday. Did a show on Friday, and we talked about we went in a lot of different directions. We started the show talking about, you know, the spiritual compass and moral compass of the country. And I got a bunch of questions over the weekend of why that's a topic. It's very simple. There's three things that I think are a danger to our society, and three things that are also a danger to our growth as a civilization. The first one's politicians. Politicians, sir, they have no purpose, zero purpose for growing or enhancing a culture. In fact, the only thing politicians, like lawyers, bring to the table is that they spend their time creating problems that should never have been created in the first place. And most of the time, they do it so that they can either gain more power, more influence, or more money. None of those things add to society. Then there's the piece around the spiritual aspect related to money. Money corrupts everything, absolutely everything. And there's been an ongoing discussion, and here's the bottom line. If we didn't have currency and we were in a barter system, it would be goods for goods. It would be technology for technology. It would be something of value for something of value. And there would be no middlemen. There would be no taxes. There would be nothing in between. And people say that that system is a feudal system, wouldn't work. I beg to differ. Because what we get with currency and money is we get basically a fiat system that's controlled by people who create nothing, and all they do is consume and destroy. If you look at the whole banking society, look at what's going on in Europe right now, look at what's going on in the US, and the fact that the petrodollar agreement was not renewed and expired on the 9th, the world's changing around us. And as a society, we need to either grow and ascend, or we need to stagnate and die. There's no in between. And we're in a culmination point in history where we decide that the shackles of this fake system, because it is a fake system, it's a fake slavery system that's built on a monetary system that only benefits the top 1,000 people on the planet. I don't see how that benefits humanity in any way, shape, or form. Communism is no answer, because communism is, again, the top 1% are the ones that get over it. Everybody else suffers and dies. That's part of the reason why we chose to talk about the spiritual aspects of our society, because there's a bigger conversation going on right now. We're watching the corruption and the destruction of the nuclear family, of of our religious belief system. And look, whoever your creator is, whether that's Buddha, whether that's Muhammad, doesn't matter. What matters is you believe in a creator, and you believe in the fact that there's a higher power, and that there's a purpose higher than yourself, and that you're supposed to learn something while you're here on this planet. I want you to ask yourself a question. When we came out of World War II, the innovation level was at its all-time highest. We went from piston engine power and a couple hundred miles an hour to faster than the speed of sound in less than 10 years. And then in another 10 years, we doubled and tripled the speed of sound. And we had high-tech precision weapons, high-tech precision submarines, high-tech precision space assets. We were able to do a lot of things. But since the mid-1970s, what have we done? Where's the world progressed? Has anything of substance come out of the last 40 years? And the answer is no. Only corruption, death, more corruption, more death. This ruling class, and Nancy Pelosi is a perfect example of the ruling class. She has absolutely no incentive to do anything other than to enrich herself. She doesn't care about people. She doesn't care about her family. She doesn't even care about her country in any way, shape, or form. It's all about what she can get over and do. So when we get to the other side of this, we have to really look at what system of government that we want to live under. And there's lots of systems of government that don't involve politicians, don't involve elections, don't involve a monarchy, and definitely don't involve communism, that are all functional, that require a bit of trust, but more importantly, it requires a bit of discipline by the entire population. We cannot continue on the same glide path that we are now, because this is only leading to one place, the moral, social, and spiritual destruction of the entire civilization. And I'm saying this because if you go look at the end of the Roman civilization, and you look at how the Roman civilization finally crumbled and died, you will see, very simply, everything that's playing out right now is almost in alignment with what happened then. And it's for one simple reason: the spiritual corruption of the entire population. I don't think there's been a time in our history where we've seen so many different lines of operation, for lack of a better word, all culminating at the same point. But it's even worse than that. We have truly evil people, truly satanic-believing evil people that are running the show. And I'll give you a case in point. We've been talking about the food, the situation with the food industry, the food supply, as well as the protein supply. Well, today a story broke that the Idaho Water District basically issued a shutoff order for 6,400 farmers in one of the biggest potato producing areas in all of Idaho. And the question really boils down to, who's behind it? And I bet you if you go look at those district managers that were probably elected, you'll find some Soros or some Gates money that's behind that. And they were told to shut it off, to destroy the food supply. There's more than one way to destroy the supply of food. This is one of them. This is one of those lines of operation that's purposely being conducted. And this is a line in the sand, folks. This Idaho water thing is a line in the sand. And I can tell you what I would do. If I was on the ground in Idaho, especially in eastern Idaho, I would take that protest right to that director's home. First, I would dox that son of a bitch. And then I would show up there with every fucking piece of farm equipment in the entire part of eastern Idaho and park that fucker in front of his house so he can't move one inch. You don't have to get in his face with weapons. You block him into his house so he can't do anything, it'll give him a taste of what he's doing to those farmers. Go ahead and leave. Go ahead and try and get to work. See how that works out for you. Now is the time to be ungovernable. This is absolutely the time to be ungovernable. You can sit around in your little chat rooms and bitch about it, or you can get off your ass and go support these guys. These are 6,400 families that will lose their livelihood, and it will never return. Choose your poison, folks. You either drink it, you bathe in it, or you dive in it. But you're going to get some of the poison. This is going to be felt and tasted by everyone. This should make your skin crawl and your blood boil, because this is more of the same spiritual corruption that we've seen time and time again. We either go in a very loud, screaming voice, or we go with a whimper. Guarantee you, I'm not going with a whimper. I'm fed up. I was talking to another friend of mine today, and he's like, I just wish this shit would start. Tired of this waiting around. Sick of this shit. Sick of watching all these gay pride flags everywhere. I'm sick of watching all these fucking trans people that are corrupting our kids, sexualizing our children. Let's just get on with this. Let's get on with this, do the right thing. Let's clean this shit up and get on with lives. I'm like, okay, I get it. The point is, all of these things are connected. There's not one thing related to the food supply right now that is not connected to the purposeful effort to destroy the food supply. We're talking about 5,000-6,000 acres of potatoes destroyed if they turn the water off. And I can tell you, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put up with that. There'd be a legal battle, and I would park every piece of farm equipment in Eastern Oregon right in front of that motherfucker's house. And I would park in front of the state capitol too. This is why this is an existential crisis right now. This is why it's an existential fight. Do you think any of these liberal retards that are in office in every one of these key states, do you honestly think that any of them have a fucking clue what the downstream effects of their decisions are? How many liberals do you know that have enough fucking common sense to be able to sit through and see the second and third order effects of any decision they make? I'll tell you, none of them do. They're all functionally retarded, every goddamn one of them. And if that's a generalized statement, good, because it's true. And if you're a liberal and you're offended, fuck you. You have fucked this country up with your bullshit politics, your political correctness, your fucking pronouns, all your bullshit related to healthcare and all that other nonsense and women's reproductive rights and all your bullshit. You're about to go through something that most of you won't survive. Consequences for your actions. And none of us are going to help you. None of us. You know why? Because we've all been trying to talk to you for years and years and years. And now all of your decisions are coming home to roost. And I can't wait to see all of you bleeding heart, shithead victims running around pissing and moaning because the government's not there to help you. Here's a little hint from your Uncle Steve here to help you out. Those people that you've regarded as good people, they're all shitheads. They're all criminals. They've all been grifting off of you and lying to you. And when that comes home to roost, there's not going to be anybody around you who's going to have any sympathy for you. That's what's coming. And you're right. No quarter for the enemy. Not this time. I'm fresh out of it. And every time I see stuff like this coming out of a liberal state, and Idaho's not a liberal state. Idaho's like Arizona, it's a red state. There's no such thing as a liberal state anymore. It's just the counties that have been corrupted by the Clintons, the Pelosis, the Feinsteins, and all the other crime families in D.C. That's all they got left. And here's a news flash for them. The system's going to collapse around them, and they won't know why. Because they've been stirring and drinking their own Kool-Aid for how long now? This is not going to work out well for them. And I wish I could say I had empathy. Not this time. Probably not ever now. On Friday, there was a ruling that the mRNA vaccine is not a vaccine. We'll see how that goes. But what you're seeing is the law of unintended consequences showing up in a variety of ways. And I'm going to go a step farther. And you can say I'm crazy, and that's fine. I think there are, if you want to call them angels, you want to call them spirit guides, if you want to call them guardian angels, whatever you want to call them. I think there are forces that are outside of our understanding that are intervening right now, that are disrupting their plans. I think there are forces that are that are at play that we probably don't understand and couldn't understand on our best day. Because everything we're seeing has tipped the balance in so far in the wrong direction that the universe has to step in and fix it. Whatever you want to call that. You want to call that the creator, you want to call that guardian angels, whatever. But there's too many things that have happened that defy logic. And it's not AI doing it. On top of that, we're seeing the pendulum swing the other way when it comes to people that are on the other side of the fence or middle of the road. I'm seeing more and more people asking the question, where do I go for information to get ready for this? Because I obviously see that the system's going to crash. I got that question a lot on Friday. And it was interesting because I didn't respond to a lot of things on Friday or Saturday. I checked out. Friday night, I went and did the live chat. We talked about the spiritual war that we're fighting because this is spiritual. This is a fight for the soul of humanity, not of the U.S., not of any country, but of humanity. And this, when we get to the other side of this, and we will get to the other side of this, we have to make sure that there's no communist government left, that there's no dictators on this planet, that there are no governments on this planet that are oppressing their people. We have to make sure that when we get to the other side of this, humanity is loosely, if not somewhat, tied together with a common purpose. And I don't mean a common purpose of we need to go get rid of all the pedophiles, the drug pushers, and everything else. I will tell you that the biggest drug pushers on this planet are nation states. It is not individuals and cartels. Cartels are funded. Cartels are organized. Cartels are led by the intelligence agencies of a variety of countries, not just the U.S. The cartels that are pushing fentanyl, all that's being done with the help of the Chinese. And if you think that there's not drug money in our economy from our own CIA, you're a fool. There's a reason they called George H.W. Bush Poppy. It's because of the drug trade in Afghanistan. Why do you think we went into Afghanistan? Do you think we went into Afghanistan to get rid of the Taliban? The CIA created the Taliban. They created the Mujahideen. We created it when the Soviets invaded in 1980. We're the ones that created the Mujahideen, Al-Qaeda, and the rest. We created it through our support of the anti-Russian invasion forces. All of those things, every one of those things, were precipitated by a nation state. There's not one of those things that organically came out of nowhere. And then when we left, all the warlords stepped in and the place was the Wild West. Much like Iraq, much like Syria, much like Lebanon, you know, all those places we went in and laid in a little industry on them and then left. The biggest destruction of most of these governments has been the U.S. government going in to quote-unquote help. And every one of these different terrorist organizations, drug cartels, they were all created by a nation state. Whether it's us, the Brits, doesn't matter. We have to make sure that when this is said and done, that we get rid of all of the mechanisms of control so people really have free will. And then we put laws in place that are not only stringent, but enforced to the point where crime evaporates. You know, one of the things that the Middle East still does in a variety of countries is if you steal something, your hand gets cut. They cut off your hand. If you steal again, they cut off your other hand. And that tells society that you didn't learn the first time. And you get no help from society. And I guarantee you, you see a bunch of people with their limbs cut off, that will stop very, very quickly. And the crime situation will evaporate quickly. We've this whole idea of the penitentiary system and the law system that we put people away for life, that has to stop. All of these things that have been put in place for not just law enforcement, but for public control, public enforcement. It's all a construct. All of it's a money laundering, grifting campaign. That from right down from the jails to all of the healthcare system now. Every institution in our society has been weaponized against the American people. I mean, when's the last time, and this is a serious question, when was the last time you went to a doctor that actually understood the Hippocratic Oath? We'll do no harm. When was the last time you saw a doc that actually believed in that? I can tell you it's been 5 or 6 years. And most importantly, when was the last time you saw, other than, you know, McCullough and a few others standing up to say, no, we're not supporting this anymore. I don't care what it costs me. Every doctor was threatened. They're all being threatened now. If you say anything negative about the vaccines, the AMA will take away your license. Do you know why the AMA was created? The American Medical Association was created way back in the early, I'm going to say, I think it was early 50s or 60s is when they created the AMA. It was created by the Rockefellers for no other reason than to give control of healthcare to the drug companies and the insurance companies. And what they did is, there's a place in Mexico called the Hoxie Clinic where they use alternative remedies for cancer. And up until about a few years, probably 5 years ago, it was highly effective. And then what came out 5, 6 years ago? mRNA. When mRNA came out and they started using it to fight cancer, guess what happened? All those home remedies stopped working. You think there's a coincidence in that? Do you think there's a coincidence in the fact that this vaccine is causing these massively rapid cancers? There's no coincidence in that. The AMA was set up to be the crime family that did all of the enforcement for all of the rich and the big pharma, big insurance, and the Rockefellers to make sure that no one challenged their authority and they could push whatever into the public space and no one would counter that. Do you think it's any coincidence that the physician's desk reference is over 3,000 pages long? Drug interactions, drug dosing, everything that's related to drugs. Do you think that's a coincidence? Every bit of that. And why the Hoxie Clinic is so important is the Hoxie Clinic was pushed. It was in 12 or 15 states, and this is what they did. And this should sound very familiar to what they're doing to Trump. They started legal suits against the Hoxie Clinic in 50 states. And then they started personal suits and personal liability suits against the Hoxie Clinic for people that were, quote unquote, injured by their tonics or their alternative remedies. And what did it do? It forced them out of the U.S., forced them out of the cancer business in the U.S. And then they outlawed vitamin K and a few other things so that you couldn't get them over the counter. Does that sound very familiar to ivermectin? Does that sound familiar to what they're doing to Trump? Everybody thinks this lawfare thing is new. It's not. This has been going on for decades. It's one of the reasons I absolutely detest lawyers with every fiber of my being. Because every single one of them, they don't have a belief system other than, fuck you, I got mine. And if that's an overgeneralization and you're a lawyer and that offends you, I don't give a shit. In fact, I'm going to give less of a shit when I get done with this show than I do right now saying it. Because lawyers are part of the reason why the laws in this country have been watered down to the point where you can't hold anybody accountable. Lawyers are the reason why we have a treason law, which is so watered down, you can't hold anybody accountable for treason, even though it's right in front of our face. When this is over, we need to revamp our entire legal system and make it very swift, very decisive, and very short. Preponderance of evidence? Great. Make it happen. But you don't wait 2 to 3 years in the system before you stand trial. And we have technology to be able to do all that. With DNA technology, guess what? They tie you to a crime scene, overwhelming evidence. You are put to death, especially if it's for murder. You abuse a child, you die. You kill a child, you die. You traffic a child, you die. You rob a bank, you die. You beat up an old person, you die. You start to get the picture? Needs to be decisive. We need to get out of this mindset that people could be reformed. We're not going to have that luxury moving forward. And this discussion is why we had the discussion about spirituality. Because most people have lost their way. And most people, that's the other one, Lone Star. I'll tell you exactly what we're going to do with the university system. Some of these university presidents, especially the president of the University of Washington, some of these other schools that have openly supported communism, they are all going to stand trial for treason, all of them. And it'll be very public. And then they're either going to rot in prison or they're going to face a firing squad. But what they've done to this, to the last two generations that have gone through any of the university systems, they're going to pay a heavy toll. End of story. And it's because they are purposely supporting communism. They are purposely trying to subvert the Christian religion in this country. There's, you know, the reason why our founding fathers based everything in Christianity was not just because of their time, not just because that was the prevailing religion at the time. It was because they all realized the same thing that I realize. Society and humanity has to have a purpose higher than itself, or it loses its way. You know, I read a book that Sean David Morton recommended to me years ago. It's called The Theubian Prophecy. It's deep. It's about a guy who gets abducted and goes to a different planet by this higher level civilization, but the gist of it, which some of it I absolutely agree with, is that humanity, and it's one of the things that we have seen here, which is why it's such a good point. Every time a civilization rediscovers the atom, one of two things happens. They either destroy themselves with it, or they progress away from it and realize that they need to come together and grow as an entire species away from the perils of the atom. And what did we do at the end of World War II? We used the atomic bomb on Japan. And if you go back to World War II, the reason why we put so much emphasis on the atomic bomb was that we knew if the Germans ever got a hold of the atomic bomb, that they would use it on all of their enemies. And they would have used it on us. It was a lesser of two evils. But what's happened since then? You've seen a proliferation of all of these weapons across the planet. But everyone has refrained from using it because of the lesson from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, as well as the nuclear testing in the 50s. All of that nuclear testing, whether you think so or not, was a deterrent, because it showed the other side the destructive power and how much destruction, both first order effects, second order effects, third order effects, occurred after detonation of a nuclear weapon. And not just what it does in the initial explosion, but what it does to wildlife and the ecosystem for a prolonged period of time, hundreds of years, hundreds. And I was in that business. I know exactly what a downrange ICBM does, especially because you see the warheads coming into Kwajalein, and people think that, you know, if there's three or four warheads, it's called a bus, by the way. When you put three or four warheads on top of a missile, it's called sitting on top of the bus. And what the bus does is it separates and it literally spins and drops warheads off. And there may be 5 to 10 degrees separation between the warheads. It's not a big distance. It's not like you're sending a missile over the U.S. and it's dropping on San Francisco and it's dropping on Los Angeles. And then, throws one over at Las Vegas. Doesn't work that way. They drop in very close proximity to one another. And the destructive damage from one Mark 25 is significant. Significant damage. And that's just the explosion. That's not the kinetic energy. That's not the radiation. That's not the fallout in the ash. That's not what it does to the water supply. And once something's radiated, it hundreds of years of half-life for radiation. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is that since the end of World War II, the world has figured out that the nuclear option is not the right option. This is the first time in our history since the end of World War II where the nuclear option is actually on the table and being discussed by both sides. And this is highly dangerous for a lot of reasons. But the biggest one is it shows that spiritually and morally, the entire planet has degraded to a point where people don't see the downfall and the pitfalls of actually destroying ourselves with nuclear weapons. And if you look at any of the TV series, especially if you go look at, I want to say it was Star Trek. Which one was it? Second movie with the Borg. Anyway, Patrick Stewart, where they go back to Earth after a nuclear holocaust. So many different movies, TV shows talk about post-holocaust, post, you know, climactic event or extinction level event. How much of that stuff has been fed to the public over the years? So much of it has been fed to the public. Why do you think that is? These people are crazy enough to think they can survive it. And for every civilization that's destroyed itself with the atom, it's taken them hundreds, if not several hundred years. First Contact. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. It wasn't coming to me. Great movie, by the way. That kick-ass board speaks at the very start of the movie. Oh, cool. The point is that I'm sure every civilization that's destroyed itself with the atom, it's taken hundreds of years to recover if they ever do. That's where we are. That's why it's so important for us to find a higher purpose and to find and reignite, you know, spirituality across our entire civilization. Because it's not just here that we're suffering from this. It's across all of the West. It's across the planet. And the other thing that's dangerous is not just the idea that we can survive a nuclear exchange. It's the political ideologies that have been propagated across the planet for the last half century. Some of these ideologies are massively dangerous to society. Communism is probably the worst. And it's not the fact that people believe in communism. It's the fact that it's about stifling and controlling people and controlling, you know, free will. We were put on this planet to exercise free will so we could learn and we could grow. And, you know, there used to be a thing when I was a kid where my parents, if you were going to run into the curb on your bike, they're going to let you go over the handlebars. Whether you get a concussion, doesn't matter. They're going to let you learn consequences one way, shape, or form. And as we progressed and the toys we were playing with got more and more lethal, that's when we got the helicopter parents. And by the way, I just have to call this out. Colonel Conrad texted me because he couldn't help himself because he's a Star Trek guy. He texted me that First Contact almost at the same time Surf of the Universe posted it in the chat, which cracks me up. So. I love sci-fi fans. So I'm a Stargate guy. I wasn't a Stargate guy at first. I thought it was hokey and dumb. You know, evil, evil, evil. The bad guys show up. Evil, evil, evil. Good guys are in trouble. Evil, evil, evil. They're up against the wall. And then they win the day. It's like classic sitcom, classic, you know, TV series of the 80s. And it's funny because when I started getting into Stargate, it wasn't the show that drew me into it. It was the fact that they started playing the characters like they would in a situation where everything was confusing, new, and everything was way above their understanding of how things should work. And that was a part of the series that was great. And then it just got hokey and dumb like most of the rest of them do. But the point is that we're headed towards a reckoning, whether we like it or not. And it's going to either be cultural, financial, or it's going to be through some kind of conflict. And I will tell you that conflict is the last thing we want. It's absolutely the last thing we want. So it is. As much as the elite want a world war, and by the way, they want a world war so they can wipe out the debt, because that's coming home to roost too. But you have these factions, and you know, I listened to a Sean Ryan episode today, or at least part of it, because you know everything he does is like 9 hours long, where he was interviewing a former CIA officer, and she was talking about the number of people that we've imported in the country and how she thinks things are going to go. I think we're headed towards a reckoning regardless. I think that reckoning is going to be, it's going to be both financial. It's going to be cultural. It's going to be religious. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a reckoning for people to get right with their creator. A lot of people have not taken the time. And look, all of us have done bad shit. I've done enough stuff I'm not proud of, enough stuff that I've repented for. And I've had to, you know, sit down and get right with God about. And a lot of it is just getting right with and making right with the things you've done to hurt other people. Because all of us have hurt other people. I know I've done it. And that's a big part of it. And on the other side of that, the other side of that is if you are going to be a part of a religion and you are a part of religion, then you need to hold your religious leaders just as accountable as you do your political leaders and your civic leaders, because they have their own self-interest too. And we often think that just because somebody's in the clergy that they're exonerated from any kind of humanity. That is not the case. In fact, some of the biggest narcissists that I've ever met have been priests or have been pastors at a church. Some of the biggest hypocrites too. And we have to hold them accountable too. This has to be a complete, you know, reset of our entire system to include how we hold each other accountable. We have to look at everything through the lens of this is corrupt, we need to fix it. Because people really don't understand what selfless service is and what personal discipline is. It's not totalitarianism. It's holding yourself accountable for getting up, being productive, going to work, taking care of your family, providing for your family, making sure your family's protected, making sure you're a good neighbor, making sure you're a good person and you add to society. That's discipline. That's not something you legislate. It's not something that you create a law for. It's not something that you can even enforce. It's something that you have to lead by example. And we have to push people to lead productive lives. The system, this current democratic system that the left talks about, it's a system of entitlement. And systems of entitlement don't last very long, just like totalitarian regimes. They don't last very long because people get tired of being oppressed. At some point, the system comes to a grinding halt. It could be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Depends on how lazy and how apathetic people are. But we are right on the cusp, and I mean right on the cusp, of seeing famine here in the U.S. And it's been created by a very, very small number of people. And those people need to be doxed and held accountable. And especially they need to be held accountable for crimes against humanity when there's one person that dies from this. Because it's coming. If they destroy 6,400 farms in Idaho, I don't care who made the decision in Boise, everybody in that department that went along with it goes to prison for crimes against humanity. Every fucking one of them. That's how you have to look at this. You have to stop looking at this as somebody else is going to step in and fix this. This problem, Idaho needs to fix. The people of Idaho need to come together, go down to Boise, park their fucking tractors in front of this motherfucker's house, and stay there until he capitulates. And do the same thing to the governor, the mayor, and everybody else in that fucking city that is propagating this. Absolutely no prisoners. Absolutely be ungovernable. Because I'll tell you what, you bring Boise to a full stop, I guarantee you that other states will fall in line. And this has to be all hands on deck. This can't be just a few farmers. This has to be everybody on deck. Anybody and everybody that's conservative that wants their lifestyle to continue, you better be on the road to Boise to protest every single one of these people right in their face. That's the only way it's going to change. Gunfire will not solve this problem. Not the way you think it will. These people have to be doxxed and put in the public. They have to be in the public space answering the question, who funded your campaign? Where did the order come from? Who issued the order? Why did you issue the order? What evidence do you have to support the decision that you made that's going to destroy 6,400 families? Oh, by the way, we're in a recession. I guarantee you they won't have an answer for that. They will not have an answer for that. Period. We have to start getting in their face and get off the couch. That's the bottom line. And it's not going to change until we do. Don't worry, the gunfire will show up soon enough. How it shows up, when it shows up, doesn't matter. I'm not even worried about it. You know, and I have people texting me all the time, sir, when are we gonna kick off and start kicking doors? Which doors are you gonna kick? Whose doors would those be? I mean, it's the fact that most people don't even know who the enemy is the problem. And then on top of that, the next question becomes, okay, where do you stop once you start doing that? There's too many things that are unknown for that to even be practical. Plus, we don't want this to go kinetic. Why would we want to burn down our own country to save it? What we want to do is we want to get these people to the point where they capitulate and then we take over again. And then we hold them accountable in a very public way, in a very public court. And then we do what we should have done years ago with the Pelosi's and the Feinsteins, the Clintons and the Bush family and the Obamas and the rest of them. We put them in a court, very public. We try them and then we execute them at a public forum. The Clintons especially. How many people are dead because of those two shitheads? There's a reason why there's a term, Clinton body count. That's real. Everybody around them seems to miraculously die when there's something that comes out about those two shitheads. And by the way, did I mention they're two of the biggest human traffickers and child traffickers on this planet? And that everywhere the Clinton Foundation goes, it creates a trail of misery and tears, kind of like the Gates Foundation. But you know, it's a conspiracy theory, so what do I know? The point is, it's not just about kicking doors and shooting people. That's not going to get us anywhere. Not right now, it's not. I know it sounds really good. I know it briefs really well. But here's the problem with that. When you get into the group mentality, or at least you get into the mob mentality. Once you get there, it's hard to get back on the rails. And usually when the mob takes over, the mob's off the rails to begin with. And we need people with rational, calm, cool heads. Because we don't want to fight everybody on the left. What we want is we want to hold the right people accountable so everybody else gets back in line. Everybody else comes back to the center. And then we start to enforce discipline across our cultures. All of that has to happen over time. It's not going to happen overnight. I mean, think about it this way. Think about how many people are living off the system and it's generations of families living off of the system that don't have any other way of operating. It's been ingrained in the way that they have been raised and the way that they have existed in the system for over 40 or 50 years. You don't just turn the ship with a small rudder. It takes a lot to turn the ship and a long time to turn the ship. All of that matters as we go forward. And we have to hold the people that are really responsible for that. That's the institutional money, and that's the deep dark behind all these people that we need to hold accountable. And the other thing we need to do, and this is probably not going to be popular, but we need to strip every fucking billionaire of their wealth. That kind of money makes people above the law, and it strips away all of their morals and their compass. And think about it this way. How many institutional money holders across this planet have made decisions to the detriment of their entire population around them just because of their self-interest? I mean, if you go look at California has basically been taken over by one family in the lemon and the lemon lime business. And they have literally influenced people, pass laws to destroy the competition. That shit has to stop. Just like we need to do away with every journalist that is willing to lie, cheat, and steal and sensationalize to get ahead. They're not journalists. They're political activists. They need to be labeled as such, and they need to be banned from journalism. Go fucking sell copiers. Go sell washers and dryers. But you're not going to do journalism because you suck at it. And we need to hold journalists accountable. You either have verifiable facts, verifiable sources, and verifiable information, or you go to fucking prison. Because our entire media system is so broken and so corrupt and so biased that you can't possibly name one source of truth out there for either side. All of that's going to take years to unwind. But we have to unwind it. And we have to unwind it to the point where there's such strong deterrence in place that they won't ever have the opportunity or the temptation to be in the place they're in now. I mean, God, just go watch CNN. Jesus Christ, Communist News Network at its finest. Every fucking word those people say is some communist Chinese trope. And that's the other thing we need to do when this is all said and done, probably before that. As we go along and we uncover all these nests of these fucking Chinese nationals that are here to destroy the U.S., we put them on a boat, we put them on a plane, we send them home. They all go. None of them stay. And we'll know who they are. We'll be able to pick them out. The first hint is going to be most of them don't speak English and they speak Mandarin. That's going to be the first hint. But that's going to be a complex problem to solve. And it's going to be a very complex problem to sort out as we're going through this. But hopefully you get that the spiritual aspect of this is just as important as the kinetic and the cultural aspect. We have got to get back to some kind of spiritual growth. I mean, and look, if you don't meditate every day, if you don't pray every day, prayer is a form of meditation. You should be doing that every day anyway, just for your own personal well-being. And it's hard to do. I already know what I'm going to hear. I can't quiet my brain. I can't find a quiet time. There's no place I can go that's quiet. Look, I want to ask you, for those of you that are Christians, how long does it take you to pray over dinner or your breakfast or pray over your lunch or pray over one of your friends? Doesn't take long. You just have to do it during the day. And I will tell you, the more you do it, the more you sit quietly and you calm your brain, the easier it's going to be for you. And the longer you can do it. I do it about 20 minutes every single day, 20 minutes of meditation every day. It helps me ground because I get inundated with email and messages and PMs and all kinds of stuff every single day. And I can't consume all that information. Like I can't read all the books that are sent to me. I can't watch all the videos that are sent to me. I have to pick and choose because I only have a finite amount of time to do that. And now with the extra show and trying to wrangle and and get the right crew to be on the shows, which, by the way, I'm looking at adding some people to the round table so we can fill out all of the weekly slots and have thought-provoking conversations, which is part of the reason for the new format. One, limit the amount of heads on the show. Two, limit the amount of people so that the interactions are more natural and people can finish a thought and don't feel like I have to get six or seven people. Right? Why is that important? Because all of us are dedicating to giving you realistic analysis of what's going on and what we see. Are we always right? No, that's not the point. The point is, when I stood this up 4 years ago, almost five now, I stood it up for the very simple reason to make sure people had a source of truth as we see it. And based on all the things we see, to figure out what the source of truth is. Because you can't believe anything that's coming out of the press. You can't believe anything that's coming out of Ukraine. You can't believe shit that's coming out of Russia. Nothing out of China. And by the way, that reminds me of a conversation I had this morning, which I should close with. If you have TikTok on your phone, you have given all of your personal information, every keystroke that you make to the Chinese. All that information is going back to China. Every bit of it. TikTok is an intelligence gathering platform, just like WeChat. And by the way, WeChat, Instagram, YouTube, they're all intelligence platforms. And WeChat is owned by Facebook. Facebook has stretched the lines of legality for browsers and what they can harvest from you. They literally harvest everything from you. I don't remember Facebook being designated as an intelligence platform and being able to violate Title 10 and Title 50 of the U.S. Code. But evidently, they're able to do it, which makes them an intelligence asset. But that pales in comparison by the fact that they have FBI, former CIA, former FBI, former DHS, and former intelligence community members that work in their companies that might give it away too. The point is that those are intelligence platforms. TikTok is the biggest because it goes right to communist China. Every keystroke, every website, just like Siri and Alexa listen to you. And if you have enough conversations, you'll see in your feed, you'll see in your advertisement shit that you've been talking about showing up. So what I do every night, number one, I turn off my phone. If it's that important for somebody to get a hold of me, then they'll get a hold of me in the morning. And there's not a hell of a lot I can do anyway if the world blows up. I definitely don't want my phone on when that happens. The point is that I turn off all of those sources of information gathering around me. One, it helps you sleep. Two, it doesn't disrupt your sleep patterns. And three, and most importantly, it won't ring in the middle of the night. So just food for thought from the bitter, apathetic, Microsoft-hating security guy. Here to help you out. And I'll close with this. The reason why we're so focused on the spiritual aspect of this, especially right now, is that as things come off the rails, as things go, and I think as they go the way I think they're going to go, it's going to be very important for you to have some spiritual grounding to observe and to stay grounded when things go completely off the rails. Because it's easy to lose hope. It's very hard to lose faith. And one thing that we can't lose is our faith in each other, in God. We can't lose our faith. And any time in our history, when there was conflict, it was the one thing that all of us had in common, was our belief in God and our faith. We cannot lose as we go through that, because if we lose our faith, if we lose our spiritual compass, then we lose our empathy. And empathy will be important as we go through this. And just like keeping our humanity, it's going to be very hard to keep our humanity when we start seeing things happen to Americans here on our own soil. And it's going to be very hard to keep our humanity when we find out what these people have really been up to in the background. All of those things matter. In fact, the most powerful tool that we have in our toolkit is empathy. That's the most powerful tool. When it shows up, where it shows up, trust me, there will be decisive moments, and those decisive moments will change entire situations if you have enough humanity and empathy. It will pay big dividends. I've seen it real time in both Iraq and in other parts of the world. When we, as soldiers, had a lot of empathy for the population that we were supporting, it went a long ways, a hell of a lot farther than any of the propaganda or the psyops or any of the messaging. When people saw that we were just as human as they were, and they saw that we were not, we didn't want to be there anymore, and they wanted us there, and we wanted to legitimately help them and legitimately support them, their whole demeanor towards us changed. And it's because they figured out that we weren't there to rape, pillage, and plunder. We were there because we were ordered to be there. And none of us wanted to be there. In fact, you talk to any soldier, the first thing I'm going to tell you is when they stepped off the airplane in either Afghanistan or Iraq, the first thing they said is, what the fuck am I doing here? How did I get myself into this? So keep that in mind. And by the way, shout out to Spud Hut. First of all, thanks for the kind words. I watched the whole video. I didn't watch the whole video at first, but I watched the whole video, and I'm going to have him on the show. I owe you a phone call. I haven't forgot. And I'm going to have him on the show because he did a video on Troops Channel about what he learned from the situation he went through with the tornadoes in his neck of the woods. And he talks through all the things he and his family learned and tied it back to what we've been talking about, sphere of influence, line of sight, use your gear, have water on hand, have supplies on hand. It ties all together. It was a great, great video. I know it's not your wheelhouse, brother, but that was fantastic validation. So thank you for that. And thank you for putting yourself on the spot and sharing what you learned. It's huge, man. It's why we do this. It's exactly why we do this. And your words will help other people because you're saying it from a place of experience, not a place of, well, I could. You're actually living through this. So I'm telling you, brothers, it is, it's good stuff. And I can't say thank you enough. So share the wealth. And make that human connection. A human connection is so important. And remember, we're all in this together. Whether you like it or not, we're all in this together. And if success for me is I get 10 families through this because I get them ready for this, that's success. And sometimes it's the little things. And the little things matter, especially when this kicks off. So make human connections, get right with God, use your stuff, be prepared. I'll be back on Wednesday with the round table. Hopefully the world doesn't blow up by then. And website should be up this week. Wait for the payment processors to get back to me with one more setup item, and then we should be able to flip the switch. And I will let everybody know when that happens. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.